786, and our website is www.radio786.co.za.
And now we've got the medical health file, and of course today we'll be focusing on thyroid cancer, I hope I'm saying it right, with specialist surgeon Dr. Fatima Hussein of Upfield State, and Hussein Associates. Of course, the thyroid cancer, for those of you who may not be familiar with the term, is a condition that arises when abnormal cells form a thyroid gland, a small butterfly-shaped gland located at the base of the neck. The thyroid plays a critical role in regulating metabolism, heart rate, and overall energy levels. While thyroid cancer is relatively rare compared to other cancers, it has become one of the most common endocrine malignancies.
You know, wow. When you speak cancer, yes, alarm. It's a little butterfly.
It's the medical language for me.
It's a medical language, and the illness itself and the consequences of this. But early detection is the key, as many forms of thyroid cancer are highly treatable. Alhamdulillah, especially when caught in the early stages. However, understanding the risk factors, symptoms, and treatment options is crucial for effective management and recovery. Dr. Fatima Hussein joins us again in studio to further unpack this. Assalamu alaikum, doctor. Welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Jazakallah, for having me here again tonight. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you both tonight.
Shukran for being with us. So I'm excited. At least there's, with all these conversations, at least there's hope. So early detection should be the focus of our discussion, but really unpacking what thyroid cancer might mean. So before we talk about thyroid cancer, please tell us, what exactly is a thyroid? Where is it located? I know Khalid mentioned it earlier, but what function does it play in the human body that we should be even thinking about it?
So the thyroid gland, first of all, it is a gland. It produces hormones. So it's part of one's endocrine system. So, you know, you have a neurological system that sends out messages on nerves. This is a system that sends out messages using hormones, essentially little I would say substances within the blood. So they don't act, usually they don't act as fast as the neurological system, but they often work with the neurological system and they enhance the two. So where is this gland situated? It's situated in the front of the neck, just, you know, where the Adam's apple is. When you see a boy with an Adam's apple, It kind of sits just below there, and it looks like a butterfly. So it has these two little wings on either side and a little thin bit that connects the two wings of the butterfly. The wing on the left is called the left lobe, the wing on the right is the right lobe, and the little bit that connects the two is that lies over the breathing pipe or the trachea, that's called the isthmus. And it's very small, you shouldn't actually feel it within the neck. Other glands that people may know about, for example, the pancreas is also a gland, or the adrenal gland that produces adrenaline. So those are just other glands that have a similar kind of function, but not exactly the same. And the main function of thyroid is, I like to tell people, it's the keep everything just right hormone. So it doesn't really... If there's too much of it, it makes you feel like you've had like way too much coffee, or way too much caffeine, or a lot of Red Bulls. So overstimulated, palpitations, sweating, you can't tolerate the heat, you lose a lot of weight, appetite a loss. If you have too little, everything slows down, like super slow. So you become tired and fatigued, your hair becomes dry, your skin becomes dry, appetite increases, your heart rate slows down, you can become edematous, like build up fluid in your body. So it's a keep everything just right hormone. You want it just right so that everything functions optimally.
You know, speaking of functioning, you know, what are some of the symptoms, obviously, or signs, should I say, that will suggest that one's thyroid is not functioning properly?
So, like I said, thyroid overfunctioning, we call it hyperthyroidism, and thyroid underfunctioning is hypothyroidism. So, overfunctioning, it feels like you've got too much caffeine on board, it's too overactive. Got those sweating, you can't sleep, all of those things. Sometimes everything is overactive, you're in hyperdrive. Whereas hypothyroidism, underactive thyroid, everything slows down, super slow. Weight gain, constipation, hair loss, dry hair, dry everything, tiredness, you can't sleep enough. Cold the cold is too cold, always wearing lots of clothes. Those are just a little bit of the signs of over or under functioning. But when it comes to thyroid cancer, usually the vast majority of people are actually in the euthyroid, which is meaning the thyroid function is actually normal. It's not over or under functioning.
You know, you're talking about now the different types of thyroid, of course. So it's over functioning or it's under functioning. So should one have one's thyroid level checked regularly or at any specific age or something like
that? Neither nor. So we don't check thyroids. There's no specific screening for them, like how there is for breast cancer or like how we discussed last week for cervix cancer or for males for prostate. There's no screening for them. In families where they have thyroid cancers, those are families where we may screen for thyroid cancer specifically. But otherwise, it's usually on a symptom basis. So if a patient presents with certain symptoms, over or under functioning, or specific symptoms of a thyroid cancer, then it may indicate that you would want to test the patient's blood levels to see if that is perhaps the case.
Interesting. I think that sometimes when you learn about something new that's within your body, I think that would be the obvious question. Do I need a checkup? At what point do I need the checkup? Because dry hair, okay, I get too cold or extremely cold, but is that enough for me to assume that? Which I think, because I would think that if I have a few of those symptoms, I would want to, and it seems like that might be the case, I would go check for it.
So it usually these symptoms occur in a cluster, I would say. It's not like, you know, like side effects. Like, for example, if you take a medication, you may or may not get a side effect. These symptoms usually go with the disease, and the more long-standing the disease is, the more of the symptoms one will get. So I would say if you just have dry hair, it's probably not hypothyroidism. Maybe you live in Joburg.
What are you saying, Dr. Fatima?
You know what I'm trying to say? Maybe you're using the wrong shampoo. Maybe there's a dermatological problem. But I mean, if you've got if you've got dry hair, you've got dry skin, you've got the weight gain, you've got the constipation, you're constantly tired, you're constantly fatigued, you're starting to get swollen ankles, this may be something that you may want to have a chat with your doctor about, because then you're starting to have a lot of these symptoms that may indicate that we should get tested.
Can medications, stress, lifestyle factors contribute to the thyroid functioning in a different way?
So, yes, stress can lead to autoimmune diseases. So autoimmune disease is basically when your own body starts to recognize itself as abnormal and raise an immune reaction against itself. When it comes to the thyroid, there's two very common ones that we know about. With the overfunctioning thyroid, that's Graves' disease, and underfunctioning ones, usually often Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And stress can is associated with it. So is smoking. So various lifestyle factors. It's mostly that we don't know why these diseases are associated with it, but we do know that they do play a role in the development of these autoimmune disorders. So definitely obesity, like I said, also plays a role. Smoking, exposure to radiation, all increase the risk of developing thyroid-related diseases.
And being underweight, could that also, in one way or another, because oftentimes I know doctors emphasize on obesity, mm-hmm. and being underweight might seem like, okay, at least I'm on the good level, but I'm not really.
So we like people to be just right, Goldilocks. underweight is it's not good for its own group of reasons. I'm not going to say that that is what everybody should aim for, you know. Anorexia has it, and bulimia have their own problems. Mm. So I think living a good healthy lifestyle as much as possible, exercising, and avoiding toxins, taking in toxins, smoking, those sort of things. Those are all moving in the right direction, and keeping your body healthy. I think the obesity is a epidemic. We're starting to see it associated with lots of different types of cancers. And it's as much about the weight, and the toxins that the body builds up when you are that weight, as much as it requires you to take in a lot of unhealthy foods and have a very unhealthy lifestyle to get to that weight, that predisposes you to disease as well. So it's may as well be cause and effect that lead obesity in itself to be a cause of a problem.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Speaking about obesity contributing to many of the diseases, many of the cancers, let's talk about thyroid cancer and how prominent is thyroid cancer in South Africa? Are there various types of thyroid cancers, and what should we look out for?
So there's lots of different types of thyroid cancers. We're not very good, I must say, as South Africans in doing a lot of research. So the data is pretty old as to the numbers. Data suggests that 1,500 males will develop thyroid cancer, and 300 females will develop thyroid cancer. So it's much more common amongst women than in males. So about 9 to 10 times more common in females than in males. So definitely a female predominance there. The different types, the most common one that we have in South Africa is papillary thyroid cancer, then followed by follicular thyroid cancer. Those are the most common, well-differentiated thyroid cancers. They have a very good prognosis, and they actually originate from the thyroid tissue itself. There are other thyroid cancers, medullary thyroid cancer, very strong genetic predisposition. And it originates actually from the C cells that are within the thyroid. So they are found within the thyroid, but they're not, we can't say that they are originally thyroid tissue. So they have a very different function to the thyroid tissue itself. This is what makes endocrine so interesting. It's absolutely, absolutely fascinating. And then, of course, there's the very poorly differentiated thyroid cancers, like anaplastic thyroid cancers. And then lots of diseases metastasize to the thyroid. So things like lymphoma, squamous cell carcinomas, you can find within the thyroid. We've had a breast cancer in the thyroid as well. Get lots of different diseases affecting the thyroid.
So, speaking obviously about the different types of thyroid cancers that you will find, there are obviously causes as to why you will get those different types of thyroid cancers. So, what are the most common causes, and how does it typically affect, you know, someone who seemingly gets those kinds of cancers?
So, gender is a thyroid cancer is, again, more common in females than it is in males. And you asked me to start about the most common ones. Radiation exposure, whenever you have a patient with thyroid cancer, you're gonna ask about that. Genetics, so if they've got a family history of thyroid cancer, specifically medullary thyroid cancer, at least one in every three people will have a family with medullary thyroid cancer, will have a family history or will have a genetic association with a medullary thyroid cancer. So if you have three people with medullary thyroid cancer, one of those people has a genetic mutation that's causing them to develop it. Very strong genetic association there with that type of cancer. Iodine deficiency, especially with the follicular thyroid cancers, that's why we see a lot more follicular thyroid cancers in the Eastern Cape population. They still eat iodine deficient salt, or they still have most of our salt in South Africa. I don't know if people know, is actually fortified with iodine. That's why you see on the packet iodinated salt. It's actually to increase our iodine intake. Not that people should be taking in like large amounts of iodine. It's a trace element. It should be taken everything in moderation. But a deficiency in iodine can result in the development of a goiter, long-standing goiters, as we often see in the Eastern Cape population again. So they have these big masses in their neck. So if it's been there for a long time, they can undergo malignant transformation as well. And then, of course, smoking and obesity, as we all know.
Thank you very much. when you mentioned the smoking, but I always like people who mention the disadvantages of smoking. People who discourage smoking at all costs are my favorite kinds of people. So is anyone more predisposed to developing thyroid issues?
Yeah, woman. Easy answer, woman. Woman over the age of 40, so it's more common in your middle-aged group, aged females. The older you get, the more likely you are to develop thyroid cancer. People from specific age groups, so usually we say this is a disease that tends to affect people from a poorer or more disadvantaged communities. Because again, the iodine deficiency, the poor access to healthcare, etc. And then, of course, things like obese people were more likely. So if you have, I don't know how to put this nicely, if you have a large lady who is middle-aged, she is the ideal person to get thyroid cancer.
Come on, you're a doctor, just say it. No one will judge you, because you're a doctor. You've got all the credentials, so you've got all the right to mention all those people. Because a man at home now listening to you will be jumping, up and down in excitement. Because you have mentioned that women, can be sort of like predisposed to developing the thyroid issues.
Wow.
So besides women, who else is at risk of getting affected by the thyroid cancer?
So people, remember the Chernobyl disaster? Everyone heard about Chernobyl. There's been like a whole lot of documentaries about it. So we see people with radiation exposure. That's one of the reasons why people who do radiography, the X-ray ladies, if you ever go for X-rays, they often wear a little thing to protect their thyroids, because radiation exposure also plays an important role. Exposure to things like drugs like lithium certain toxins that are related to rubber and the paint industry can increase your risk of developing thyroid cancer as well. Those people are more at risk. We would check.
So how important is early detection, in treating thyroid cancer? And what can people do to reduce their risk?
Liver, live a healthy lifestyle, I think, is very important. Healthy diet. This is one cancer where you want to eat your green vegetables because it does provide you with a natural source of iodine. And if you don't like green vegetables, then salt, but your physician may not like that because too much salt causes hypertension, brings you back down to everything in moderation. So exercise, try to avoid obesity, can't avoid being female. If you have a genetic risk, if you have got a long-standing family, lots of family members with thyroid-related diseases, it's something that you should talk to your general practitioner about so that they can maybe look into it and get you, see if it's relevant to get you tested, or maybe even just at least examine your thyroid to see if there's something, any lumps or bumps in that area. Thyroid, how important is it for early diagnosis? It's always great to diagnose a disease early. And thyroid cancer specifically is one of those diseases where if you diagnose it early enough, patients, you don't, you have, like I said, those two lobes of the thyroid, then one can just remove the one lobe of the thyroid. You won't necessarily need to remove the whole thyroid. You don't need treatment after that necessarily, not necessarily. Like treatment after that comes in the form of radioactive iodine. We can talk about that later. But you won't necessarily need that. And you can just be followed up for a couple of years. Or you can just say your treatment is almost complete just with something that small, just removing that one lobe of the thyroid. It's amazing.
Well, early detection is the key to this conversation. And if you think you have some of those symptoms, do speak to your general GP. Get it checked out. We have to take a short breather. It is 100.4 FM where you hear the difference.
Are you curious, interested in what is happening around you, and want to get to the core of an issue?